Hello and welcome back. Today we have an amazing episode with Gina Warfel, who is the founder of Mastering Mindfulness Institute. While she is classically trained as a registered dietitian, her work is very far from conventional. Gina's frustration with the diet industry's notoriously poor success rate drove her to dive even deeper into human behavior to understand why we sometimes resist or sabotage diets. This led her to developing science-based methodologies that empower people in their health. Today, the Mastering Mindfulness Institute teaches people how to leverage mindfulness to transform their health from the inside out. So today, some of the takeaways that you will get from this episode is how to get off this dieting roller coaster that you may be stuck on, overcoming self-sabotage blocks and resistance to health, what are food cravings, and how to come into peace with your food, and using the power of mindfulness to transform health from the inside out. So here we go, my friends. Welcome to the Health Uncovered podcast, your go-to podcast for all things health, healing, and what to do next on your health journey. I'm your host, Mercedes Cook, a doctor of chiropractic and a diplomate in chiropractic cranial cervical junction procedures. Each week, my guests and I will be uncovering treatment options and health tips to help you get to the root cause of your health issues. If you're tired of seeing doctor after doctor with no answers, then the show is for you. You'll learn all kinds of healthcare options that you may have not known existed that will help you move forward on your healing journey more confident than ever. I invite you to stay open and curious. All right, let's get into today's episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another guest episode of the Health Uncovered podcast. I am so excited to bring you Gina on the pod today. She is a wealth of knowledge. She's someone that I met several years ago. She talks about nutrition and a way of eating unlike anyone that I've ever seen, especially around the topic of mindfulness. So Gina, welcome. I'm so excited for you to talk to our listeners today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you.
So I would love for you to give us just kind of, you know, your story, your background, and walking us through your Mastering Mindfulness Institute, like what that is and what exactly you do.
Yeah, so I'd like to put it this way. I think that this is a way that helps people really understand. Do you ever know anyone who has maybe tried a diet and they try another diet and they try another diet and they're like, what the heck? What's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? Right? Do you know anybody like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right? Really common. So I help people peel back those deeper layers and understand why. Why can I not stick to this? Why do I not trust myself with food? Or am I broken? And I help them develop a deeper relationship with their own body. And so we're transforming health, but from the inside out. So really, the Mastering Mindfulness Institute, it exists to help people use the power of mindfulness to transform their health, really the experience of their health journey. So I think of like the words mastering mindfulness is like mastering is anything that you're putting your focused attention towards, anything that you're working on, focusing on. So you could be mastering watching a TV show. You could be mastering watching, complaining or being happy. We're working on mastering mindfulness. So it's really a study of mindfulness. And when we look at mindfulness, we look at the relationship with ourselves, the relationship with our food, our bodies, our environment, and how all those pieces play a role in our ability to transform our health. So we're going a lot deeper than just knowing information and what we're supposed to be doing, but we're really developing a relationship with ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been an interesting journey for me.
Yeah. I was going to say, please tell me how your background as far as what you started off doing and how did you get to this sort of place of, instead of telling people what to eat or how to eat, which I'm sure is part of it, but like, how did you get to this place of the mindfulness component?
Yeah. So I've always been really interested in health and nutrition and science. And I remember like growing up and my mom was always into like health and trying different diets. And I was just like most people are exposed to so much health information. And I just like wanted to know the truth. I was like, what is the truth about health? Like, what should I be doing? And I was just thought if I went and got a degree, then I would know the final answer. Like I would know what is the truth about health. And so I went to Eastern Michigan University and became a registered dietitian. And I graduated with my degree and I opened up a private practice. And I was like, I can't wait to change the world. And so I did what they tell you to, which is like you give people meal plans, you set health goals. Maybe you even calculate how many calories their body needs and tell them and build them a meal plan based on those calories and those macros. And I was having these clients come in and they were all really struggling to change. We might even set one or two goals a week, like really slow, but they always seemed to sabotage it and then go back and then feeling a lot of shame and guilt. And they were coming to me like it was confession, like, oh, I tried. And then, you know, maybe one step forward, two steps back. And none of them are really making like meaningful change. And so I was like, something isn't right here. Maybe I don't have enough knowledge. And so I went back to school, got my master's degree in human nutrition, and continued on doing the same thing, asking other dietitians, asking other health professionals, what are you doing? And it was kind of the same thing again and again. You give people the plan, it's their responsibility to follow it. But I was like, something seems not right here though. What if, like, there must be more. How can I just expect people to just take this information and follow it? But if they're not doing it, something just isn't right. And I really started to deeply question, like, am I a scam? Am I just like any other diet? Like, am I tricking people? Because nobody's really getting these profound life-changing results that they were really coming to me for. And they might come to me for over a year, 2 years. And I noticed that a lot of other health professionals were getting the same results. And at that same time, I noticed that for me, like health felt like a daily fight. I was healthy, but I was thinking about food all day long. I was obsessing about it. I was counting calories. I was willpowering my way from not eating certain foods. And I really started to question like, well, if I can't do it, if I'm really struggling, I'm barely hanging on and I have so much motivation. I came from a health conscious family. If I'm like barely hanging on, am I coaching people into like this daily war that I'm experiencing at the same time? What is the end goal here? And it really made me start to question everything. And so I ended up stopping my private practice and really going into a deeper exploration within myself and starting to understand why I didn't trust myself with food, why I was going through these moments of doing really well, holding on to this healthy eating, and then losing control, self-sabotaging, and why I was so deeply wanted to know the answers. Why can't I trust myself? And why is this so hard? We have an abundance of information. Why is it so challenging to stick with it? Why do we get cravings? Why does it feel like sometimes something takes over our brain and we go into like a hypnosis? And it's like, I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but I was experiencing that all the time where it was like all of a sudden something would take over my brain and I would self-sabotage and I'd be like, man, I just had so much willpower. Why can't I do that? And I noticed that that's what a lot of people were experiencing. And so I knew that there was more to explore. So I really started to understand things like our food cravings, why we get them, exploring my own and stop having so much shame and judgment around it, but really getting to know it and understand it, understanding how my mind was playing a role, my body was playing a role, my cravings, my patterns, and really peeling back the layers. And then over time, I started to build trust with myself and my body. I understood how my mind was working, how my cravings were working. And now then my body shifted away from being my enemy in this daily fight to being like something I knew how to work with. And now it's been a really beautiful experience that like I can be present. I don't have to think about food. I don't have to plan my food. I don't count calories. I'm just very in tune with my body and trusting that to guide me. But it's taken some time to figure out how to do that and, you know, what's in the way of me being able to do that.
Yeah. Can I ask, when you wanted to like explore deeper, especially like within yourself and why there was sort of like this daily struggle and constant thinking about food, like what did you do? How did you explore yourself so that way you could start helping people do it as well?
I remember being in a lot of judgment because if anyone should have control over their food and their health and their body, it should be the expert, right? It should be me. So the hardest first initial hump to get through was letting go of the judgment around it. And I remember being in this place of confusion and saying, I don't know what's wrong with me. Why can't I just do this? And at that time, the first mentor that I hired, I saw him at a speaking session in San Diego, and he was like, used to be a Buddhist monk and is now a psychologist. And he, like, I hired him as my mentor because I just knew he had something for me. I was feeling really drawn to him. And it was like my first little sign on my breadcrumb on my trail, you know. And he said, and I was like, I just don't know what is wrong with me. Like, there's something happening inside of me and I don't know what it is. And that was kind of my clue of like, there's more to learn. And the first thing he said to me was, do you see that you're so disconnected from your body? And he was the first person who pointed that out to me. He said, you're very disconnected from your body because when I ask you how you feel, you tell me what you think. And when he would ask me, he kept asking me, how do you feel? How do you feel? And I was like, I wanted to Google examples of feelings because I really didn't know. I was like, I don't know. And he said, you're so disconnected from your body. What I want you to start doing is start checking in with yourself like a child and start developing that relationship with yourself and with your body. And that was my first entry point to realize I was living life in my mind, which most of us do. We're trained by our society to live in our minds. Diet mentality is suppress your appetite, suppress your cravings. Hunger is bad. It really makes our bodies the enemy. When we're children, we're told to stop crying, to not have feelings. So everything in our body becomes bad and wrong. And we're told to use calories and information and numbers and counting and points and measuring and all of this stuff that is the mind. And our mind wasn't designed to tell us how to eat. So if we live in our minds by thinking all the time and we're disconnected from our feelings, we're afraid of our hunger, our appetite, our cravings, if we live inside of our mind, we'll never trust our bodies. And so I was really living in my mind. And so I didn't understand if I was hungry or not. I didn't know if I was having a craving or if I was really hungry. I didn't know what my feelings were. I was self-sabotaging. And so him to bring that awareness to me of, do you see that you live in your mind instead of your body? It was that first realization of like, wow, I thought because I do yoga and I exercise that I was connected to myself and my body, but there was a whole universe below my head that I was waiting for me to be explored.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Isn't it amazing how like one person you meet or interact with, they pose one question to you and it really like changes everything for you. I love that.
Yeah. He really set me off on the start of this deeper self-exploration. And then it was really a series of books and mentors and deeper questioning and spending the time not focusing so much and caring so much about what I was eating and the right thing and the wrong thing and the rules and the numbers and just letting that go for a minute and just really turning inward and saying, you know, I don't have a great relationship with my body right now. I don't have a great relationship with my food. I don't really trust it, but I want to get to know it. I desire to know this thing that I'm going to be in for the rest of my life. What if I spent time getting to know it? What if I invested my time, my attention, my money, different ways of moving closer to this thing that I'm so afraid of and really at war with?
I love that. And I know one topic that you talk about quite a bit is obviously the traditional dieting model. Could you speak on that a little bit and like kind of, I guess maybe even some misconceptions? You already touched on it a little bit, but we sort of have these thoughts on like what we need to do for our bodies and how we're supposed to eat. But how do you feel like that train of thought is failing us?
Yeah, I think that dieting or whatever you want to call it, health programs, information, dieting, I think that they're helpful tools. I do think science is helpful. I do think it's helpful to learn about what foods are healthy and good for our bodies. But when we're taught that we can only rely on rules, and we should not listen to our bodies, that it can't be trusted, that it's an enemy. If we treat our body like it's the enemy, there will always be a war and we'll never understand it. So I think that where dieting fails is that it trains us to only use our mind. And really, our bodies have this amazing intelligence to tell us how much food do we need? When do we need to eat it? How much do we need? What foods are great for us? Like, our bodies have this intelligence. And when we're disconnected from it, then we don't know how to pick up its signals. We don't trust it. We don't know how to learn from it. So we end up relying on diets and information. And so it's really important to know the difference between what is your mind's job and how that works, and what is your body's job and how that works. So we use our mind, but our mind's job is actually not designed for us for self-improvement, for getting healthier, for losing weight, our mind's number one job is to keep us safe. And that's really, really important to know. Our mind, what it does is it collects information from the past and it uses that information to predict the future, to keep us safe and to try to keep us the same. So if we, let's say, have struggled with dieting in the past or we have struggled, our mind is going to predict there will be struggle in the future. This is who we are. And then our behavior follows that. Our behavior will follow someone who struggles. And so if we are only using our mind, we're actually living in like a kind of a delusional world. It's kind of crazy to say, but there's this psychologist who I've learned a lot from his work. His name is Alexander Lowen. And he talks about how the more that we live in our mind, the more delusional and more towards psychosis that we actually move, because our mind is designed for safety. It is not thinking about what is actually here and present. It's thinking about our past and it's creating a story to predict the future. And so our mind wants to keep us safe. So if we're only living in our mind, we might have extra food cravings or we might want more food than what is needed because extra calories and sugar is a safety mechanism. It keeps us protected. It keeps us nourished. Where when we start to live in our bodies, we move. That might sound confusing, right? Live in my body. I live in my body. But it's like moving and having awareness of our hunger, our fullness, our cravings, our feelings. Our bodies are the truth. When we feel hot, we can feel it's hot outside. When it's cold, our body responds and gives us goosebumps. We're supposed to eat and feel full. When we don't have food, we feel hungry. When we feel an emotion, it's like it's there, it's present. So our bodies really give us this truth and this information. So where dieting goes wrong is it tells us to abandon our bodies and not trust it and to only use counting and numbers. And so when we say things like, I don't know if I'm hungry or if I'm full, or I don't know why I can't trust myself with food. It's because we've lost that connection, which can be regained, but we've lost that connection with interpreting our body's signals because our society teaches us to do that. So if you think about when you get a diet plan, usually it tells you change everything by tomorrow, right? Do all these healthy things, change the way that you're eating, change the way that you're exercising, meditate, drink water. You're changing all these things. Well, our brain is constantly scanning our inner environment to see if there's any changes. So if you change everything overnight, that alerts your safety mechanisms in your brain, and your brain doesn't know if you're trying to get healthier or if you're going into famine and in a survival. So the more changes you make overnight, the more you might be sounding off those safety alarms in your brain and your body. And then your brain has this protective mechanism response from it's called your amygdala. That's your fight or flight brain. It wants to protect you. So if all these changes are happening and your amygdala in your brain is like, wait a second, the changes are not the priority here. This human being is changing. There could be a threat to survival. So the amygdala takes over. And when that happens, it increases cravings. It increases appetite. It increases the drive for food to try to keep you the same and to protect you. So then all of a sudden we go into like this hypnosis. If you ever know anyone who is like, oh, I had so much willpower 1 minute. And then all of a sudden it's like something took over my brain and I self-sabotaged. And then I was like, shoot, I already did it. I might as well just continue and then start over on Monday. And that was something I was going through, was these experiences of having all this motivation, knowing what I was supposed to do, doing really well. And then it was like something took over my brain, caused me to self-sabotage, lose control. And then once your body is fed the excess calories, okay, now it receives the information, you're safe, you have enough food. So then your rational brain comes back online and is like, wait, why would I just do that? I have these goals. I have this health program that I'm doing. And now you're full of shame and guilt and you think that something is broken and wrong with you. So essentially the dieting cycle contributes to tons of changes, triggers our safety mechanisms, causes us to self-sabotage, and then it reinforces this belief system that there's something wrong with us and we need to do it again. We need to sign up for another program. We need more accountability. Meanwhile, it's not really getting down to the deeper roots of what is driving our self-sabotage and our behaviors. So dieting, it just stays surface level and it never gets to like the root of Why am I self-sabotaging? Why don't I really trust myself?
Yeah, I can definitely relate. There was a time, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, especially during 2020, when there were a lot of big changes happening in the world and a lot of unknowns. And I had just purchased a practice in San Diego. So my stress level was unlike anything that I've ever experienced. And so during that time, I was super critical and like hard on myself because I was super stressed, but I also couldn't figure out, like, I was literally stressing over, like, you know, how I'm eating and like, okay, I'm gaining weight. But like you said, I was also in a place of disconnect from my body because I thought like, okay, well, I'm eating whole foods. I'm eating the diet that I normally eat that is healthy. I'm exercising, like I'm doing all the stuff that I'm supposed to do, but sometimes you can be in this place of disconnect. So I was like jumping from one thing to another. I'm like, okay, I need a personal trainer. Okay, I need a macro assessment. Okay, I need, like, I was just jumping from like thing to thing. And while some of those things, of course, they're all tools and they're helpful, it wasn't until I actually worked on my nervous system, got my body out of a place of like fight or flight, that I could actually, like you were talking about, just trust myself, actually listen to like, what does my body need? That was when I could finally like get back to a better place and implement some different tools and they would actually work. So if you're someone who has experienced that, like I completely understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly where I was and where most of the people are that I work with, where they're just like in a state of stress, they're living in a state of fight or flight. They're so disconnected from their bodies. And when you're living in a state of fight or flight, it actually cuts off your ability to properly sense if you're full or not and get that information transmitted in your brain and processed in your brain. We need to be in a calm state. So if we're in a state of fight or flight, that information doesn't even get received by your brain that you've had enough food to eat. So when you're in that stress state, in a state of fight or flight, you can feel this like insatiable. I remember feeling hungry all day long. And I was like, I actually do feel legitimately hungry. But why is it that I need to eat something like every hour? And I can't stop thinking about food. How do people get healthy? How do they ever overcome this and change? Because I am thinking about food all day long and I'm hungry all day long. So the path to getting healthy feels like suffering. When you're in that state of fight or flight, that's how it feels. It feels like you're suffering. But when your nervous system, like you said, when your nervous system gets regulated, you can start to get the information from your body. Okay, now I actually feel full. Now that I'm feeling full, I'm not thinking about food all day long. Now that my body feels like I'm in a safe state, I'm not in this animalistic response, like thinking about food and magnetic to food, because that's all cravings really are. When we have like a revved up craving, it's a safety response. It's a primal instinctual, I need food for survival. So instead of trying to fight away our appetite and our cravings, it's what do we need to do to create safety inside of our bodies? And then the cravings gently release themselves.
For sure. Well, while we're on this topic, can you touch a little bit on, because I'm sure a lot of people probably can connect with maybe feeling disconnected now that you've actually described it. Because like you said, it's not just about going through the health motions and like doing the things that you think are healthy. Like that does not make you connected to your body. How do we get disconnected? And then what are your top tips for like coming back online, if you will, or like getting reconnected? Like what can people do?
So disconnection, I think, first of all, what does it feel like? Because I didn't really notice that I was disconnected. Sometimes it's getting to know, like, what does it actually feel like? And I think it's when we are afraid of maybe our emotions or anything inside of our body. And there's almost like we're living in a heady space of like we're thinking all the time, we're anxious all the time, we're thinking about the past or the future, we're planning food or what we're going to eat, what we're not going to eat, and not being able to trust ourselves with food or trust in our hunger. When you're connected to your body, you can feel, okay, am I craving something right now? And does that need to tell me something? Or am I actually full? And you can eat, and you might even eat indulgences, but you feel satisfied after. Where like the huge difference was before, when I was living in my mind, it was like this insatiable, nothing ever hits the spot. But now that I live in my body, it's like now I can be more flexible with the way that I'm eating and I feel it and I perceive that. And so the reason why we become disconnected, it could be for many different reasons, but it's like the awareness in our body goes up into our mind because at some point, maybe it didn't feel safe to be inside of our bodies. And that could happen from, oftentimes it happens from like an emotional experience, could be a traumatic experience, it could be a micro trauma, a major trauma. But usually when I ask people if around the time that they could feel when they became disconnected from their bodies, a lot of the time they can pinpoint, yeah, I was going through a really hard, emotionally difficult time. I was, you know, going through a divorce, or I didn't feel safe as a child, or there was a lot of chaos in my parents' home, or my parents were going through a divorce. And that's a time when if our emotions become too uncomfortable and we don't feel okay feeling our emotions, or we don't feel safe to feel our emotions, or even our physical body, if we didn't feel physically safe, emotionally safe, if the pain became too great to experience in our bodies, and it's almost like a safety mechanism that we move our awareness from feeling and up into our minds. So if you think about like little kids, how they hold their breath to like try not to cry or try not to feel, it's like that tension, that clenching, that holding the breath moves awareness out of the body and prevents us from feelings. Which the opposite, if you think about how when people do breath work, sometimes that breath and that breathing and coming back into the body releases emotions, and there's often crying and a release. And so you can see how when we're breathing and we're in our bodies and we're okay with our emotions, we're very connected to it. When an emotional experience happens that is too uncomfortable, we don't feel safe in our bodies, we don't feel safe in our emotions, we might retreat to our mind. So it can be a little bit of a process to start feeling safe being in our bodies again, listening to our hunger, feeling the emotions that are there, feeling sensations that are there, and starting to meet our bodies in a new way that maybe has been disconnected for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. And if someone is experiencing this right now, what would you suggest as far as like just first steps? Like what could you do to try to help yourself when it comes to this kind of feeling?
There's a couple things that are really helpful. If you're in that place where you're like, I don't understand myself, why am I doing this? Why don't I understand my body? A beautiful place to begin is to just change the orientation towards yourself and to start seeing it not as the enemy, but as something that you just don't understand just yet, and starting to want to get to know it. And sometimes that change in the dialogue with the relationship with ourselves can open up so much understanding. You know, just like any relationship, if we have a relationship where they're the enemy or they're toxic, there won't be good communication. But if we can say, I want to get to know you, that's a really beautiful place to begin. And I always tell people that the foundational thing that we need to start is to have awareness, but to bring in curiosity. So we want to have awareness of our body, our mind, our thoughts, our patterns, and start to see ourselves as our own research project. And so not only do we want that awareness, but we really want curiosity. And that means that instead of looking at everything with judgment, because that's kind of what our society has primed us to do, that, you know, self-sabotage is bad, cravings are bad, letting go of that piece of judgment and just being like, huh, this is interesting. I wonder why I do this. Our bodies were all designed to have cravings when we go into this state of fight or flight, or if there's deeper things that are driving my eating. I wonder why I do that. And that curiosity alone starts to open up deeper inquiry and deeper self-exploration. The other part of that that I would also really suggest is how well your nervous system is regulated makes a really big difference in your ability to understand your cravings and your experience and what's happening in your body. And so I love just teaching all of my students that their breath is the most powerful tool. If you try it right now and you just take a nice big breath, you might notice a shift, right? You might feel, even just with one breath, maybe you take two or three of those and notice how your awareness is so much more tuned in to your body, to your feelings, to your experience, right? We get our awareness pulled up into our minds, and then it's hard to know, how am I feeling? How is my hunger? What's happening in my body right now? use that breath, and the breath is the direct bridge to bring you back into your body, into more awareness and less thinking about the past and the future and getting caught up in things that aren't even truth. Your breath is direct access to what is here and present right now. And that's where really the learning begins.
I love that. I think that's such a great topic that I don't hear a lot of people talking about. So I hope that that really helps give some people some ideas like where to start. And like you said, breath work is very powerful. I remember doing my first like official breath work session, like actually guided, not just like at home. Like I know the importance of breath work. I've read research on it. You know, I know what it can do for the nervous system, but I still had this block in my head. Like, why would I go pay someone $200 to do a breath work session? And I did one and I was like, oh, I get it now. Because sometimes when you, again, depending on the breath and depending on what you need emotionally, it can be so powerful to get some new tools or learn some new tools, which this is something not that you have to go do with someone. You could literally look up some ideas on YouTube. It's such a powerful thing that you can do. So I love that.
And breath work can be a bit intense. Like it might not be where everyone is at. Like the intense breath work where you're taking those deep breaths, that can be really activating for the nervous system, which can create resilience and help with emotional breakthroughs. The type of breathing that I really like to teach is very gentle breathing and really slowing down the breath. And then our bodies can come into this place of safety. And so a lot of my students will notice like, oh, once I just start breathing, I'm so much more in tune with like what's happening in my body. How am I feeling? What is my hunger? What are my needs? And we start to develop that deeper relationship. And that breath is like, it gives you the ability to, man, I don't like the word control, maybe regulate. I don't really love regulate either, but like you're the one that's choosing to regulate your body instead of your body being in this activated state, taking over your brain, creating this hypnosis and self-sabotage. And I don't understand what's wrong with me.
Well, could you, Gina, go back to walking us through, you touched on like the dieting, the disconnection, and I'm sure these are a lot of things that you address with the Mastering Mindfulness. What exactly does it look like to be a part of the Institute or to take a course with you? Can you walk us through just kind of how that's different than maybe how most people approach dieting?
Yeah. So like I said, I love information, but what I love the most is not telling people, you know, eat this, don't eat that. I love helping people understand themselves. So I'm not here to fix you or tell you which one way to eat. I'm here to help you understand yourself. And sometimes when we're in that, we're so in it, we're so in the weeds and we're like, I don't understand myself. It's helpful to have somebody help pick you up out of those weeds and give you like a bird's eye view of like, oh, that's why I do what I do. That's what I'm needing. That's how so we're understanding different dynamics of ourselves and really moving closer and closer and closer to a lot of these parts that have been maybe in some ways shamed. And so I break it down into like five different components that we're moving towards and getting to know. And that first component is getting to know our mind and our thoughts and how our mind works. I talked a lot about how our mind works here, how our mind is designed to keep us safe. And so what a lot of people will start noticing is that when they have awareness of their mind and their thoughts, they'll start noticing, oh, my mind was speaking to me. It was saying that I need something, but I really don't need anything. That was just like a safety response. Like I was actually just in this really stressed place. Or they start to understand how their own beliefs have been creating their reality. So if you grew up believing that if somebody told you that you weren't good enough or that you're not worthy of it or that you'll never be healthy or that you'll never, if somebody told you, this is just one of many examples, and then you grew up with the story of I'm not worthy or I'm not worthy of taking care of myself or stories like taking care of myself is selfish. Now you might desire health, but you might also be repelling it at the same time because you don't believe that you're worthy of it. You don't believe that you'll ever be lovable or you don't believe that taking care of yourself is that you deserve it, that it's selfish. Those are just couple of the many, many examples of how we create beliefs and stories in our mind that will create this resistance. And so I like to look at the way that the mind works is if you have a desire to change or to be healthier, to have a certain relationship with your body and your health, but you watch yourself doing something different. You feel like this inner tug of war. There's more to explore in your subconscious mind. There's something that you've learned or a belief or a story. So it's getting to understand, is my mind trying to keep me safe? What are the stories that I learned growing up? Right? I mean, think about how many kids don't grow up with enough food, or they have multiple siblings fighting over food, or they were told by their parent, you can't leave the dinner table until your plate is empty. And so sometimes we might be trained from a very young age for our mind to believe there's not enough food, food is scarce, or I have to eat all of it or else there won't be enough. And that's how we're hardwiring our brains. And then that becomes a habit. And then as an adult, somebody tells us, well, you should eat less. Well, now you're taking away my food, but my subconscious mind is still telling me that food is scarce, there's not enough of it, or that I need to eat everything that's on my plate. Now we have inner friction happening. I desire to change, but I have this belief system. So it's really important to start looking at how the mind works, how those belief systems work. If you can update the belief system, which we can update everything that we've learned in our belief systems to know that there is plenty of food, or it's okay that we will be safe and taken care of. Now we can change how much we're eating and not trigger that safety response in our brain. So I love helping people explore their brain and how their mind works. The next piece that we explore is the body. We explore our connection to our body, like we talked about. How does this body work? What happens inside of our body? How do we feel fullness? Why do we sometimes not feel fullness? What is our body telling us that we need? How do we start to learn its communication and connect down into our bodies? And that's really all about like just starting to slowly move our awareness into our bodies. I think meditation, specifically like body scan meditations, those are really helpful resources. You can just Google those, look those up on YouTube, and you can start practicing to connect. I have my students go through guided meditations where they're connecting their mind from up in their mind and down into their body, and they're practicing to bridge that connection and listen to their hunger again. So that would be the body section. And then we move into the relationship with our food. And so we're really looking at it just like any relationship. Do I trust myself with it? Can I be around any food and not fear that I won't lose control? Can I understand my cravings? Because cravings, I guess it could be in the relationship to food section, could be the body section. But like I mentioned, cravings are like the animalistic-like response that tells us that we need pleasure, or that we need excess calories for something for safety. So we're starting to understand, can food show me where I'm needing safety, or where I'm needing love, or where I'm needing these things that I can actually create within myself and heal that relationship with my food, to trust myself with any food? And then the next section is our relationship to our environment. And how does our environment influence things? Am I creating an environment that's supporting my growth? One of my friends had said to me, he said, first you create your environment, and then your environment creates you. So we want our outer world to be reflective of our inner world and the growth that we're doing. And then finally, the last piece that we look at is a relationship to ourselves, or our soul, whatever you want to call it. That is really getting to know, what do I desire? What feels authentic to me? To me, it doesn't matter what somebody wants to do with their body, or with their health, or what size they want to be, or what shape they want to be, or how they want to eat. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you feel fully in your choice, that you're like, this is what I desire, and there's nothing in my way of that, that I feel in tune with my own body, that I can eat foods that make me feel expansive and I feel excited, whether it's the salad or whether it's the cookie. Like, it feels honoring to myself. It feels in my power versus being controlled and contracting, and I have to go on this diet, or I need to fast, and it feels like anxiety and fear. But that we're really stepping into a life and a relationship with ourselves and our bodies and our health that feels like what we really want. And sometimes that can get confusing. Some people are like, am I doing this because I want it, or because my mom wanted it for me, or because society says that I want it? And we're really getting to feel and experience, what do I really desire? And letting go of anything else that is not our own true desires.
That's amazing. I feel very, even you just breaking down, like what you go through, it's very an empowering process, right?
Yeah.
I don't think most people that go through like if they see a normal dietitian and they're like, okay, now I just have this meal plan, I have to change all these things, it usually doesn't feel very empowering. It feels very daunting. Whereas this is like literally truly like a self-discovery. Like, why am I the way that I am? Let me like learn about myself. I don't think there's any, unless you take the intention and you work with people and try to ask yourself these questions, I don't know of any point in life where this is like a common practice of like, it should be. We should have like a class in school, like literally get to know yourself and your body.
Right? I had to learn geometry, but nobody told me about like how to listen to my body, like what my body is telling me to guide my eating. And we all have this. We just need to understand if we feel like we don't have it or we don't trust ourselves. It's just understanding what is in the way of it. How do I move towards those things that are frustrating instead of trying to run away from them? Because we can't outrun them, but everything becomes understood when we move towards them and we understand those cravings and how to work with our bodies. And then the fear of it, the shame of it, it all goes away because everything becomes understood. And now there's nothing that we're at war with within our bodies, and it gets easier, and then it becomes fun. And like you said, it's this empowering self-discovery. And the beautiful thing that I love about this work is once you learn about yourself, you never go back. You never go backwards. You get to understand yourself, and you have this relationship and this knowing that you get to have forever. It's this beautiful gift that you get to have for the rest of your life. Where dieting, when we don't understand ourselves, it's like you're on the program or you're off the program. And you're either willpowering your way through it or you're not. And it creates this fear of like, well, what happens if I stop the program? What happens if I go on vacation? What happens if I give up or I go back? And we're like in this state of chronic fear, where when you're just going deeper into the relationship and you're trusting yourself and you're learning about yourself, it doesn't mean that you're going to eat perfect forever. But what it does mean is that you can listen to your own body and you can eat the salad if you decide that you want to be healthy and you decide that that's what is honoring to you. Or if you want to indulge, there's no fear of losing control and starting over again and going on roller coasters. You're in tune with your body. You can eat that food, enjoy it, really hit that spot that feels so good and satisfying. And then you move on, and our bodies respond to that. Our bodies come into alignment with that when we're not holding because of fear and safety and roller coasters.
I love that. Can you please tell everyone, just based on just going through this program, what does it look like to work with you? Like, do you have certain courses online? Do you work with people one-on-one? How can my listeners, if this is work that needs to be done, how can they work with you?
Yeah. So, such a huge range. Anything from, I share a lot of stuff on Instagram, a lot of free learning. Sometimes I do Instagram lives to do deep dives and podcasting. My podcast is the Mastering Mindfulness Institute. So I share a ton of free resources there. I also do a weekly newsletter where I just share what am I learning in my own journey and having these bigger, deeper mindset shifts. So the newsletter, the podcast, Instagram is a great place to start learning this kind of stuff. Completely for free. If you're wanting to continue and keep learning, I do have a couple of courses. Right now I'm putting together a training that it's not quite done yet, but it'll be out soon. That's the foundations of food freedom. And it's going to be a very inexpensive, affordable program. It helps give people clarity on moving forward with like, how do I begin experiencing food freedom? And we have anything up to like group coaching programs for people who are ready, which is Mastering Mindfulness. And that's if like you're like, yes, I resonate with this. This is my next step for me. We do have group coaching programs, and I only work with a couple clients a year that we do deep dives with. But the group coaching is a beautiful way to be a part of a community and learn about yourself and grow and have this experience.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that. And I can attest, I look forward to your newsletter every Sunday.
Oh.
So everyone, I will put all the information in the show notes. So that way you guys can get connected with Gina, get on her newsletter, email list. And just to kind of end things, where can my listeners follow you? I know, like you mentioned, could you just share your Instagram? That way everyone can get connected with you there.
Yeah. Instagram is at gina.worful, gina.worful, W-O-R-F-U-L. And if you go to masteringmindfulness.institute, you'll see a spot where if you want to check out the newsletter or the podcast or any resources, you can find everything there too.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Well, I learned so much just from our conversation today, and I'm excited to share this with everyone else. So Gina, thank you so much for spending this time with us and sharing your knowledge. I'm so excited for all the people who will literally become less disconnected because of this. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate all the work that you're doing.
Of course. Thanks, Gina. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope this information was valuable and that you share it with a friend or family member who is struggling to find answers to their health issues and they want help moving forward with their healing journey. If you want to keep the conversation going, follow me on Instagram at @drmercedescook. To request a consultation to work together, head to uppercervicalsd.com. I appreciate you tuning in and I look forward to seeing you here next week to dive into the next topic together.